This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is January 16, 2015. Welcome to Invest Talk. It's here every day, Monday through Friday, live, 4 to 5 Pacific time. And I appreciate you being with us. This is a source. Hopefully, we can be a source of information and encouragement. My book is called Above Average Investing for the Average Investor, and that's really what we're all about. You don't have to settle for average results and exposing yourself to too much risk. You don't have to do that. You can be much more careful and much more, protracted about what you're doing, much more cautious. And then you can do very well. So let's get to work and maybe help you make better decisions. Our weekly premium newsletter went out this morning to all our subscribers, as always. It comes out every Friday afternoon, sometimes in the morning, depending how fast I can get it out. And I always like to highlight some of the things in my section called Current Market Conditions. It's usually the first section. It's always the first section. And I talked about China a little bit, reported a miss on their trade target. What does that mean when I say they reported a miss? This is in the newsletter. Instead of their target of 7.5% growth, they came in at 3.4% growth. So what does that mean? What it means is that they're ratcheting down. That's going to mean they're going to ratchet down their GDP because even though they're trying to become a more consumer-driven economy like ours, exports are extremely important, and they are falling. In the stock ideas section, I direct the reader's attention to two big brand names in communication. You would know all about them. So in our portfolio management section, I talk about energy prices and what to focus on. We're going to have that on our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference, February 7th, We're going to talk about oil. That's going to be oil and commodities, but primarily oil. It looks like to me we might be getting close to a bottom in oil. It looks like it. I'm just looking at a chart of oil. And today you had after a number of days of down, the last two or three days you're seeing the oil prices bounce. Not dramatically, but bounce. The bounce they are doing, they're bouncing. So we're going to talk about that in the Saturday Morning Wealth Conference, and that's going to be in San Jose, February 7th, from 9 to noon. How to take advantage upside of low oil prices. There are some good things about it. There's some bad things, but there's some good things, especially for our economy. Now, each week our newsletter includes a section on market, stock ideas, portfolio management, and, of course, I have Consumer Watch. And this week I mourned about the apps that you download and your kids download. Be very careful. Even the free ones. The free ones could be a problem. You can get some malware in there. So be very, very careful. It's not just something you should ignore. Okay, 888-99-CHARGE is a number. By the way, our newsletter you can get for $9.95 a month. And you don't have to buy it for a year. You can buy it month to month if you like. So let's get to the phones. 888-99-CHART. Here's a call from our 24-hour listen line. 888-992-4278. It's ready to catch your question anytime.
Hi, Steve. This is Kyle out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'm a podcast listener. I had a question for you on dividend reinvestments. My brokerage tracks the cost basis on the dividend reinvestments different whether it's mutual funds versus ETFs or stocks. On the mutual funds, the cost basis is the cost at which I had originally purchased the mutual fund at, whereas with the ETFs, the cost basis is what the market price is on the day that dividend is issued. So I was basically wondering, why is there a difference between these two, and does this difference matter in any way, either for tax purposes or for the purchasing power of those dividends? Thank you for taking my call, and I hope to learn something from it. Thank you.
Well, why for everybody else, you need a cost basis of whatever you buy, because when you sell it, you'll have profits or losses, and that's how you, the cost basis is how much it costs you to buy that particular equity. Now, his question is, you know, if I do dividend reinvestments and I keep reinvesting, it changes, my cost base change. And so you have to, it's not the biggest issue as you might think it be, because these days your brokerage firm has to keep track of it and send you a 1099 of the cost basis and the profit and loss, short-term and long-term. Used to be you had to do it yourself. You had to keep track of it yourself. But about 2 or 3 years ago, that changed. And so for tax purposes, the brokerage firm has to send you the profit and loss, the realized gain and loss report, which will tell you your short-term, long-term gains and losses, so you don't have to keep track of it anymore. So it's not that important for you to worry about it. You know, there used to be much anxiety about this because some of it is very confusing, especially when you reinvest dividends. One of the reasons why I never used to reinvest dividends, because I want to know what, keep my cost basis, you know, stable. And, you know, which stocks did I own and what at what costs? And you know, it was just confusing. It was just terrible. So it's not that big of a deal right now because the brokerage keeps track of it. But you do have different cost bases when you reinvest those dividends. You bought a stock at a different price or an ETF. Mutual funds keep track of it. Everybody has to keep track of it. The world's hottest stock exchange is made of securities that neither you nor your favorite manager or index fund has ever bought. China beckons American investors. You can buy Chinese stocks on their exchange. That's one of our talking points today. And I give you a little taste of the subject matter for a conference coming up. Also, I want to talk about copper. Copper prices collapse, like oil prices. But copper prices really took a dive this week. What does that mean for our economy? Does it mean anything? And when should you take Social Security? I've talked about this off and on. When should you take it, start taking it? And why, you know, the different ages that you can take it? What are the pros and cons? And have you noticed the prices of certain items collapsing? Besides gasoline and fuel oil, they're down 20+%. But have you noticed other items have taken a real dive this last year? Do you know what they are and how much percentage? I have a list of them. I'm going to talk about that. And finally, what, since we're talking about lowering prices, right? Things are getting cheaper and cheaper. What do you invest in a deflationary cycle or times? Remember Japan had starting in 1989 or so, deflation for years and years and got in a cycle of deflation that they're still struggling with to get out of. I mean, it's been years. And what's good to invest if we get in a deflationary cycle? We'll talk about that. I think those are going to be interesting. And I do have an email from a listener and a person who comes in all the time to or comes to our conference, and he wants to talk about a particular stock. So we'll get to that too today. Right now, let's talk a little review at the market. Let's take what the market did. It was up after, 6 days in a row being down. It popped up. The Dow was up 191 points. The NASDAQ up 63 and the S&P up 26. Now, do you think the market is recovered? No. The market is down 3% or plus, maybe 4%, depending on which index. And it just, we got very oversold and we have a bounce. We'll have to wait for the next week or two, wait till the end of the January and see how we end the month. I do think it's probably an oversold bounce and we might get a few days to move up. And I do think oil is going to bounce up. It seems like it's trying to find a bottom. And now the question is, should you step into oil stocks at this point? Yeah, I'm just hoping our wealth conference is on February 7th, which is 3 weeks away. Oil can do a lot of movement in that 3 weeks. So let's take a look at it. But you know, from a long, I like to look at it from a longer term perspective. oil and other commodities. We want to hear your questions. 888-99-CHART is how you reach me right now. Your money topic is always important. I'll hear it on Invest Talk.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. It's not exactly exciting stuff, but there's a powerful lesson for all of us, the investing secrets of billionaires. That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk podcast. And you can make a difference in the topic selection, too. Check in, call anytime, ask your question, suggest a topic at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Time to give me a call. What do you want to talk about? Whatever's on your mind. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
How you doing, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for taking it. I just wanted to find out what a good entry point would be on Freeport McMoRan.
McMoRan.
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems like it's dropped like quite a bit, since last year.
Yeah,
I just wanted to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, the last year's high was about $38, and today is at $19.24. Engaged in exploration and development of copper, gold, silver, molybdenum mines in Indonesia, North and South America. And, of course, we all know what happened to copper's collapse, and gold was, last year was not very good. It's moving up this year. I don't know if you've been paying attention to that, Art, but gold is starting to move up this year. So that's what Freeport McMoRan, it's a big company, $20 billion company. It's not a small company. It's a big cap. But earnings and sales have been falling the earnings have been falling, going to be falling this year, 2014 and 2015. 24% in this 2014 and 12%. Nice dividend, though. And the dividend does look like it can be very supported. I mean, they make enough money to pay it. So it's not an issue. But you wanted to know what's a good entry point into the stock. It is broken down, as you know. And so we have to go back, on a weekly, going back to 2011, you can't find, there is no support where it will stop, where you could say, well, this looks like it might stop going down here. Let me go back even further. Okay, on a monthly, you got a lot of support right around here, around $19 a share. And then the next downward support is around $10.50, $11 a share. So it should stop in this area. If it does not, it's going to go down $10. So be very careful. I would wait. You want to see it trade sideways, and it hasn't done that. The last couple of days it's done it, but I would wait for a couple of weeks of sideways movement, and then you might stick your toe in it.
I was actually just thinking about getting a few shares and putting it in my IRA, but I'll just wait and see what happens in the next few months or so.
Yeah, don't be a big rush because, this is commodities, and commodities are under a lot of pressure right now. I mean, someday this is going to be a great opportunity. Commodity stocks, yes.
Okay, thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Okay. It's FCX, everybody. Freeport McMoRan. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm portfolio manager Steve Peasley. I mentioned my book earlier, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor, A No-Nonsense Beginner's Guide to the World of Buying and Selling Stocks, a down-to-earth kind of approach. You can find it on our website at investtalk.com. Scroll down and look for the box Recommended Books.
What makes a stock fit into a certain category like emerging markets? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on Invest Talk? There's no question that cheaper oil has undercut stock prices. But does that mean there aren't opportunities for smart investors?
It's not as simple as, you know, oil goes down and everybody is hurt.
InvestTalk hosts, portfolio manager Steve Peasley and Justin Klein encourage you to join them Saturday, February 7th, to talk about the upside of the downturn in oil.
Look beyond the headlines that you see. Oil prices going down, you know. Well, who's that helping and who's that hurt?
This three-hour Saturday morning wealth conference will show you the opportunities.
We'll look at the average investor and how he can profit from collapsing oil prices, because there are upsides to it.
It's Saturday morning, February 7th at the Hyatt House in San Jose. And if you sign up by January 24th, you get the $10 early bird discount. Just go to investtalk.com. That's investtalk with two T's, investtalk.com.
Life just makes sense from the top of a mountain, and Alaska Airlines wants to take you there. Now, Mileage Plan members can fly two round trips and get a third flight to a ski destination for just the cost of the applicable taxes, which start at $29. So come discover the majestic mountains of Mammoth, Snowbird, or Snow Basin. Explore more, spend less. Visit AlaskaAir.com for details. Must be a California, Oregon, or Washington State resident to qualify. Offer is valid for Mileage Plan members only. Registration is required. Bag fees for checked baggage and other rules and restrictions apply.
What if someone invented a way to find the perfect brand new car that didn't involve driving from new car dealership to new car dealership? Well, AutoTrader.com did. By searching our immense inventory of actual new cars for sale, you can see which dealers have the exact 2013 sedan you want. Plus, see who has the best price and compare offers in your area like cash back or low APR. So you can find which dealership has your perfect car and the best deal before ever leaving the house. AutoTrader.com, the ultimate new car marketplace.
What does your drink say about you? When you drink Arrowhead brand sparkling mountain spring water with only three natural ingredients, the fruit essence says you're an adventurist.
One-way ticket to Kilimanjaro, please.
The spring water says you're a nature loverist.
That tree looks like it needs a hug.
And the bubbles say you're an optimist.
This glass is two-thirds full.
With only three natural ingredients, you have three reasons to feel good about yourself. Arrowhead brand sparkling mountain spring water. Made with spring water from carefully selected mountain springs. Born better, plus bubbles.
Hi, welcome to AT&T. So, you want to save money?
Desperately.
AT&T's best ever pricing for families gives you 10 gigabytes of data to share and unlimited talk and text on four lines, all for $160 a month. There's even plans for up to 10 lines. Sound good?
Insanely.
AT&T. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Pricing is for four phones on AT&T Mobile Share Value with no annual contract, additional charges for extra devices, other charges and restrictions apply. Visit a store for details.
This is the Friday, January 16th edition of Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. It's not exactly exciting, but there's a powerful lesson in that. The investing secrets of billionaires. That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk, and we hope you'll join us then.
Let's go to BJ in Fremont. How are you doing, BJ? Thanks for waiting.
Thank you, Steve, for taking the call. My question is regarding the technical analysis when you mention the support price. How does the support price is determined, especially for a long-term duration? Because, for example, oil, which has come down now considerably, and at this point, the support price is maybe way back into early 80s or sometime, you know, when it was low. So what is the relevance of this support at that low level? I can understand if it was for a very near future, in near past, then you can relate it, because a lot of new buyers were sitting at that, and when that bottom hits, people will get out. But for long-term, 5 years beyond, does it make any sense?
Not if you're going to hold on to it for a long term. Like if you're going to hold on to ExxonMobil or one of those big blue chip stocks, you know, trying to guess at the bottom of where they're going to be on a short-term basis is not good. You want to look at the fundamentals of oil worldwide, because it's a worldwide commodity. So we're going to talk about this in depth at our seminar, but the fundamentals of oil are here in the United States. We are finding more and more of it, but we are using less and less of it. So for us, We don't need as much. The whole world is awash with oil right now. And Saudi Arabia and other countries, in the Middle East would love to have supply go down. It's like any other commodity. So it's all about supply and demand. Right now, there's an outside amount of supply. Now, and you add to that, the world economy is not as robust here in the United States. It is okay, but in China, their growth is slowing down. Europe is still struggling. It looks like they're with deflation. So from a point of view of stepping back and looking at long term, you say, well, oil is still going to be in high demand over the long haul, because it will. In the short term, it's always a supply and demand. And right now we have too much supply and not enough demand, so it's hard to support prices. But everybody knows that there's a bottom floor for those prices. So how do you determine where the floor is, which was what your first question was, BJ? And you do that by looking at charts to see where it has fallen and stopped going down before. And so you have to go back, as you pointed out, you have to go back pretty far to find support for this price. And you have to, you've got to go back 5-7 years to find support for these prices. So that's the problem you have. I think we're oversold because, that's what the traders tend to do. They overbuy and oversell things. And so it's only a matter of looking at a chart and say, this looks like a support area where this is, where demand for stocks and demand for oil will bounce simply because people think it's an opportunity, which it may or may not be, because oil could still go down. But supply, if you're paying attention, you'll see a lot of oil producers cutting back on their production this year and their costs, laying off some employees. So supply, it will start to shrink sometime later this year, and that will be supportive of oil prices. But good question, PJ. It's hard to know. It's very difficult to know. Let's go to Don in Pleasant Hill. Thank you, Don. Thank you, PJ. Let's go to Don in Pleasant Hill. How are you doing, Don?
Really well, thank you. Hey, my daughter got married recently, and they're looking to buy a house in the next, 4 years is what she said. And so she has a chunk of money. I don't think it's a huge amount, but she asked for suggestions on where to put it, where it's going to be safe for the next 4 years. What kind of ideas you got for her?
Okay, not in the stock market, because you can never use the word safe in the stock market.
Yeah, I was afraid of that.
And to be honest, she's really, really hard-pressed to find any place to get any kind of return on money, because you just don't get it in savings or CDs or anything else. And she wants it for housing. And I've always said that for money that's designated for your house, to buy your first house or your house, you don't want to take a lot of risk with that. Now, if she had like 10 years, 7 to 10 years, I said, well, then maybe you want to take some risk with that, because the chances are very good that she can make money in the market over that length of period of time. But 4 years, that's kind of on the cusp of, I don't know. If you said 1-2 years to me, don't even think about it. You don't expose it to anything. Now, she might take a chance on some oil stocks, in the next few months, because I think in 4 years, maybe she'd do an ETF, an oil ETF. In 4 years, it should bounce. But I really hesitate to have her take chances, Don. Really.
Yeah. I threw out an ETF for the S&P, and she was saying, but you said it would be caution and losing and this. So we're back just to mutual funds and garbage.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Don. I appreciate it. It's just, you can't, there's no place to put money for safety. You can buy treasuries. You can make a little bit of money. A 2-year, 4-year treasury. Okay. But you're not making a lot of money. But that's a safe place to go. You can do that. InvestTalk is here to be a ready source for the average investor. We welcome any money questions you might have. Don't hesitate to ask. Beginner questions are always welcome. Jay and Mateo is standing by. He's next. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Jay and San Mateo. How are you doing, Jay?
Good. How are you? It's actually Jerry, but that's fine.
I'm sorry, Jerry. Go ahead.
That's all right. So I've been financing UCO the last week and a half, and thinking that it parallels the rise and fall of gas or of oil.
Uh-huh.
And I read an article last night. It sounds like there's contracts involved, so it's not as obviously nothing's as simple as it looks.
Right.
There's more to it than just following oil.
Right. This is, you're talking about UCL, ProShares, Ultra Bloom Crude?
Correct.
Okay, and that's an exchange-traded fund corresponding to twice a daily performance. Whenever you see, Jerry, the word twice or three times a daily performance of something, and this is this is supposed to be corresponding to twice the daily performance of the Dow Jones West Texas Crude Oil Sub-Index, whenever you see that, they can't just buy the index and think, okay, I'll just go up with it because that would only be one times, right? It just tracks the index. So they want to do it two times. Okay, now that involves something very different. You can do it, but now you have certain contracts with the other side of the trade, and it gets pretty pretty exotic on how they do this. And therefore, it's never going to be perfect. Okay, so you can't say, well, wait a minute, the index went up 3%, but this went up only 2.5%. What happened? You know, that's because it just can't be perfect. And it's called a leveraged fund. These are leveraged funds. And there's nothing wrong with them, but they should be used on a short-term trading only, Jay. Not really good for long-term investments because they don't track very well over any length of time.
So if I'm a gambling man and I want to bet big on oil...
This is what you do. You use this one. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Jay, thanks for the call. UCO is a symbol, everybody. UCO, it's tracking the price of oil, West Texas crude, and an index, and it leverages it by two times. And I'll say this. I'm looking at the chart, and it looks like volume has really spiked yesterday. So this might indicate on the downside. The thing has been falling now for some time, from $40 down to $8 since July, tracking oil. So if you're a gambling man, like Jerry said, this would be something you could do. But please do it with money that you don't really, you're gambling with. You're taking a lot of risk with. Okay? Why copper is collapsing? You notice copper collapsed, made a huge downward stroke to this week. It doesn't make sense because if economists are bullish, and they are here in the United States for sure, and everybody says that, you know, for 2015, the world is going to continue to grow. It might grow a little bit less than it did in 2014. Why would copper prices collapse? Why would all the commodities be collapsing? Are they trying to tell us something different than what the economists are saying? I mean, the traders and investors are saying for all these commodities, we don't see the demand there. And especially copper. Copper is used in building and manufacturing. It's got a lot of uses. And that price collapsed. Now, that was it due to just speculation? I don't think so. I think investors are saying they see less demand for it. And it might be simply oversupply, less demand. And we're just, you know, just like anything else, supply and demand. But is it telling us something more than that? Is the economy not nearly as strong? And we all know that it doesn't feel like our economy is that strong. But you can't argue with the numbers. The numbers are, jobs are increasing. It is true. But it doesn't seem like the average consumer is all that confident. And then you look at the confidence report this morning, and it's pretty high. Consumer confidence report. So there's definitely a tug of war going on here. There's definitely a tug of war. Is copper prices falling? Is that in and of itself a signal that the economy is not, the world economy is not doing well? Now, it could be China just slowing down its building dramatically, and therefore demand for copper has gone down. Could be that. Remember, China is pretty big, and they're a pretty big consumer of commodities. So maybe that's what we're looking at. I just think we need to start asking questions, everybody. Not just, think about what's happening here. We've had a pretty good run from the last recession. Not a great run, but pretty good. It's been a long time. And, economies are cyclical. I don't think we're going into recession this year. Could be later part in the year. It could happen, but I don't think so. Maybe next year, though. The dividend-paying stocks get a lot of attention these days, and they have for the last few years. If you like a list of dividend-paying ETFs, well, I have them. You get them if you like. Just go to investtalk.com, sign in to be an InvestTalk Insider. It's free. And then you can have access to all kinds of good information.
Just why not sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider? It costs you nothing. You have access to webinars, too. It's free on investtalk.com.
Hi, I'm calling from Massachusetts. I listen to your show on podcast. I have a question about a stock, BNX. That's the symbol. It would be Console Energy. Just like to get your thoughts on stock. And you guys have a great program. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, this is an energy stock. It produces coal bed methane gas, primarily in the northern and central Appalachian and Illinois basins. Earnings are going to increase this year to 88 cents from last year, 53 cents, and then next year, $1.05. Sales have picked up recently by about 10-15% quarter over quarter for the last three quarters. Before that, for 2 years, it was going down. It's almost a $7 billion company, and it's trading at $30 a share. So if it's going to make $1.05 and $30 a share, you know what the P.E. ratio is, right? Okay, it's a little less than 30. That seems expensive to me. Even though the price has come down, it was around $47, $48 in June, and today here it is at 30. In November it's 42. It's fallen from 42 to 30 in a month and a half, 2 months. So it's falling. And I am not a... This is another, just like I was talking about copper, this is coal, and it's been falling. I'm not a big fan of coal. Why am I not a big fan? Because there's just too many negatives about it. Politically, it's a negative thing. No one wants it. It's like tobacco being attacked by everybody because it pollutes. It's a bigger polluter than oil. So I don't like that kind of attack. Doesn't pay enough dividend for me to be 0.8%. Management owns 2%. Mutual funds have been slowly buying it. But I think it's, I don't like this sector. So I don't like this stock. Maybe I'm prejudiced. But I don't think so. And that's CNX, Console Energy, everybody. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. So give us a call, if you like, at 888-99-CHART. Love to talk to you. It's time for InvestTalk Personal today, the day-to-day money decisions that can have lasting impact on your life. Should you be banking at a credit union? Here are some facts about credit unions. They tend to offer higher rates of return on savings accounts and lower interest rates on loans. Those are good things. On average, they tend to be much smaller than banks. I find that attractive myself. And that can lead to more personal service, which is why I find it attractive. And unlike banks, credit unions are nonprofits governed by their members. So can you use one? Many people believe they must belong to the military or some kind of government agency, or that their savings will be insured the same way that they are a bank savings account. So what's the truth? For sure. Just like banks, credit unions can fold and go out of business. Members are protected through the NCUA insurance. NCUA is a federally insured credit union program to protect members in the credit union. To find out more about you can go to contact Credit Union Union Administration. National Credit Union Administration. You can find out more information. They do have insurance. It's, there's nothing wrong with a credit union. And that's InvestTalk Personal. Is there a money topic you'd like to know more about? Let me know. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin. I'm Steve Peasley, and we welcome your call next on Invest Talk. The number is 888-99-CHART.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
Okay, so when should you take Social Security? Okay, the age of taking Social Security with full benefits is between 65 and 67, depending on how old you are, when you were born. You can start taking it at 62, okay, but and you can wait till you're 70. So when should you take it? Well, it depends on your need. It depends on your life expectancy, and it depends on your desire to work. There is no clear answer. Everything being equal, wait till you're 70 years old. If you don't need the money, wait till you're 70 years old. Because between the age of 62 and when you take the money, between 65 and 67, between that, you're only going to get, if you start collecting at 60, you're only going to get about 74% of your benefit. Okay? You're only going to get that much. They're going to, and that, it just doesn't make sense to do that, to lock yourself into 74% benefits. So if you take it early, you're not going to get full benefits. If you wait till you're 70, between the age 65 and 67, whenever your age of full age of retirement is, you'll get 8% more per year until you're 70. So it's wise to get that extra money. Now, there's lots of little intricacies involved. I wished it was simple, but when has the government ever made anything simple? It does not happen. You have to be very careful and decide how you're going to treat this. What should you do? What's the best you could do? Now, if you need the money, you know, of course, that's one thing. But if you don't need it, wait. Okay? If you're sickly and you plan on dying soon, maybe you should take it early. It's really a personal thing that you have to look at. Your calls are my lifeblood on this show. Our conversation on Invest Talk is key. 888-99-CHART. You can reach me whenever you feel like it, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're here for you.
Hi, Steve. This is Oscar calling in regards to ITC Holdings Corp. That's ticker symbol ITC. Wondering what you think about it and would you be buying? Thank you very much. Actually, I'm thinking about buying. Thanks.
ITC Holdings Corporation, it is a utility electric power company, and this would be a non-cyclical, more defense-oriented type of position. It's a $6.6 billion company. Its headquarters is in Michigan, engaged in transmission of electricity from generating stations in a number of states, 5 or 6 states. They're going to make $1.87 this year and then $2.09 next year. They made $1.64 last year. They're growing 13, 14, 15% quarter over quarter quarter their sales. Same with their earnings. I kind of like that. It looks pretty darn steady. And because of that, the stock is at a 52-week high, $42.70. And therefore, the P.E. ratio is pretty high. Well, because it's steady. Return on equity is 17%. It's consistent. It's reliable. You know, it's been growing 10, 15% sales quarter for quarter for quarter for years, and so is earnings. So you have to pay up for that kind of stock. And you notice that the stock in the month of January has gone up, not down. The rest of the market's gone down, but not this utility. So it's not paying a great dividend, and that's at 1.5%, and that's usually what attracts people to utilities. And that's because it's selling at a 23 PE. I mean, it's pretty expensive. The five-year average is 17 to 25 on the PE. So you wait for a pullback and buy it. It's a good company, a good solid company. There's nothing wrong with it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, so what prices of items have fallen sharply last year besides gasoline and fuel oil? And how much have they fallen? Can you name some of the top ones that have fallen? I have a list and have the percentage of what they've fallen. And this kind of goes to my point about deflation, a deflationary spike, or not maybe a spike would be a term, a deflationary, push. Instead of inflation, deflation. And deflation is a lot harder to fight than inflation. The Fed does not, Federal Reserve does not want deflation. Our federal government does not want deflation because it tends to make our debt more expensive. Now, have you tried our free risk analysis tool? It's really easy to use. It really is. It takes 5 minutes or less, and it gives you a great insight as how much risk you feel you're comfortable with. There's a scoring system from 0 to 99, 99 being the highest risk, 0 being very low risk. So where do you fall? It's only a few questions. To use it, it's free. To use it, just go to investtalk.com, scroll down to the blue box labeled Free Risk Analysis.
Distribution of our podcast is made possible by KPP Financial. And if you have a question to ask Steve or Justin directly, you can click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin and write them a note. They devote a portion of their day to answering these questions, and they will get back to you.
Now, I had an email this morning from Frank, and he wanted me to talk about a couple of positions, and I'm going to talk about one, OIH, and it's about oil. And he said, I look forward to upcoming San Jose meeting at the Hyatt. He comes to our meetings a lot, our conferences. I just received this essay, and he attached it for me. It was an article. And on today's radio show, would you discuss OIH as a possible good vehicle? And let's talk about OIH. It's an exchange-traded fund. Remember, we just talked about a leveraged exchange-traded fund. But this one tracks something different. This one tracks the market vectors of the U.S.-listed Oil Services 25 Index. Oil services. It's not tracking oil prices. Oil service companies. Those companies that service the big oil industry. You know, they could be, you know, it could be companies that fix wells. You know, it could be companies that, you know, put together pipelines. You don't know. You've got to look them up. What are they, pipeline companies? Not usually. They're companies that provide services to the oil industry, the big ExxonMobils of the world. And this index, of course, has fallen just like everybody else. And the question is, it was up today. It was up $1.52 to $33.25. It had a nice bounce in oil prices today. And so all the related oil industry bounced. This pays a 2.6% dividend, which is nice. And this would be a company that if you feel oil has bottomed, that you could take part in. However, I would probably rather be in a different sector. In the oil patch, not necessarily services. I would be more comfortable with large integrated oil, or if you just wanted to, you know, trade on the direction of oil, I would buy an ETF that just tracks the oil index. Like, I don't know about the leverage one that we talked about earlier, but maybe a single, and then you could decide if the oil prices have hit a bottom or not. Services, you know, the index is great, but I need to know who's in it and then do some research on individual, and if I was individual stocks, and if I was going to do that, I would probably rather buy the individual stocks in the sector myself. Okay. We know that gasoline prices have fallen, and they've fallen about 20%. But do you know there's other items that has fallen quite sharply? Right after oil and gasoline, the next item on this list as far as how much something has fallen is televisions, 16.7%. You can do this by yourself. You can go into Costco and look at the cost of TVs and compare them with what they were a year ago. You'll find that they're cheaper, significantly cheaper. After television is computers and peripherals, down 10.5%. Laundry equipment, I guess that means a washer dryer? Laundry equipment down 7.4%. Men's suits and sports coats and outerwear 7% down for the year. Dishes and flatware 6.7%. Photographic equipment down 6.1%. And that might be because everybody's using their cell phones for photographs these days. Clocks, lamps, and decorator items down 5.8%. Toys down 5.4%. Now, why would I bring this up? Besides, I think it's interesting to see what went down the most. I'm also bringing it up because it tells us that we're looking at, and these items, that's all deflationary. That's deflation. Prices are going down. If we get into deflation, if we fall into the Japanese model that had deflation forever and ever and ever, and I'm not sure, my belief that we'll do that is pretty small, but it's growing, okay? Just think about, in a deflation, what should you invest in? Cash will be king. Because remember, every month in deflation, you have a load of cash. Every month, you can buy more with that cash next month and then the following month and the following month. So cash would be good to have to hold. Okay? Believe it or not, bonds would be good. Because in a deflationary spike, they're going to... Interest rates usually go down. And you definitely want to avoid commodities or commodity-related investments, which you can see what's happening to them now. Before we close for the hour, remember, you can sign up for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference on February 7th. If you do that by January 24th, we'll give you a discount of $10 at $10, $35 per person instead of $45. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and I'm speaking for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial when I say thank you for listening today. Let's meet up again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.